Morning has broken, and it is time to come into the house of the Lord. Jesus welcomes us as we are coming into this sanctuary and ready to sing and to pray and to give thanks to Almighty God. Everything we do in word and deed is blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ when we put God first. So as we welcome each other, I know that there are activities going on, have occurred and will be, so help me with the announcements that we need to make everyone aware of. Are there some announcements for today or this week? It looks quiet. We are getting ready for Vacation Bible School to begin on August the 4th. And that week will be special, and then the children will lead worship on the 11th, and celebrate the gifts of men. Sunday is on the 18th, so those things are on our calendars, and supported by you when you come. As we prepare to worship and read scripture, I know that Luke Lyerly is ready for this 85th Psalm, and I invite you to turn to that page and let us pray responsively and read carefully this word from David.
You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity
of your people and covered all their sins.
You set aside all your wrath and turned your fierce anger.
Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us.
We stand together as brothers and sisters, knowing that we need to make confession for our sins, knowing that we need to fall to our knees and bow our heads before God. As we think about our activities and contributions to the pain of the world, let us make our prayer. Loving God, we know that there are times when we disappoint you. We have great hopes and dreams for us, and we let you down. We are sorry as we ask for your forgiveness. Shine your face on us, O God, as we think about how we reflect your love. For it is in the name of your Son we pray. Amen. And we know, too, because we have prayed in God's name and God is the source of our lives and the giver of forgiveness, we come before these waters of baptism knowing that sometimes they are poured with energy and sometimes they are poured quietly for the calmness of our lives. And we know that through all these experiences, whether we be on the mountaintop or down in the valley, this promise of life is with us now and forevermore. Amen. So as we are affirming our faith in God, let us say what we believe. In everlasting love, the God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered the children of Israel from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her chosen child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. And as we light the peace candle, that is our sister candle with the churches around this entire community and world, we know that God's peace, it goes to the ends of the world. And as we share it, we are illustrations of that confidence. So let us share the peace of Christ. The peace of the Christ be with you.
And also with you.
seated.
Last week, we heard about the vision of the plumb line that God showed to Amos. Today, we will hear that Amos sees a basket filled with summer fruit. The word for summer fruit is very close for the word end. Therefore, this simple basket of fruit spoke to Amos of the end of the growing season, the end of opportunity. The end has come for my people of Israel. Amos then gives the reason that the nation is doomed. They have trampled the poor and needy. The people of God have lost their focus of God's shalom, God's justice for all. Let us hear a word from the Lord. This is what the Lord showed me, a basket of ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? He asked. A basket of ripe fruit, I answered. Then the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. In that day, declares the Lord, the songs in the temple will turn to wailing, many, many bodies flung everywhere. Silence. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon over that we may sell grain and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat. Skimping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales. In that day, declares the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your religious festivals into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food, a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Got it. All right, good morning. All right, so I know a lot of the times when we come up here, I ask you about a word, and I ask you about what that word means, but I'm going to do that again. Are you ready? Okay, what does the word care mean? What does it mean to care? Yes, Luke.
Care means to help other people.
Okay, to help other people. That's a big way to show people you care about them, definitely. Anyone else have a guess? Yeah, Luke, another guess? You care for them, yeah. That can be a verb or a noun, right? So let's, maybe it'd be easier this way. Let's go around the circle. Let's say someone or something that you care about. Okay, Leah? Your family and friends, that's a good one. Luke? A good one, yeah. What about you? What's something you care about? Your mom and dad, good one. Davis, do you have something you care about or someone? Your friends, okay. Abram, do you have somebody you care about? Your friends, good one. So, we care about a lot of people and we care about a lot of things. But we kind of have two Bible stories today, and they both ask the same question of to Jesus. Yeah, Luke already knows. What's the question they asked to Jesus? How can I help them is a story we talked about a couple weeks ago. That's good. But the question they asked to Jesus, and you'll hear it in a second. So the first story that Pastor Lynn's going to talk about, and we talked about in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, was about two sisters. And one sister, yeah, Luke, help us out.
Martha and Mary.
Okay.
Helping the house.
Mm-hmm.
And Martha was the person sitting around.
Okay. So I think we have those two mixed up. But yeah, one sister is getting ready. Jesus is coming to her house, so she's getting ready. She's cooking, she's cleaning, she's doing all that stuff, and the other sister is sitting there listening. And the sister that's cooking and cleaning says, "Jesus, don't you care? Why don't you tell my sister to come help me?" And Jesus has an answer for her, and he says, well, your sister's doing the right thing. She's listening to me. All right? The next story is another group of people that ask Jesus if he cares. It's a couple of stories in the Bible that people ask Jesus when he cares. So, Jesus is in a boat with the disciples, and he goes down to sleep. He goes to sleep on the bottom of the boat. Does anyone know this story? Yeah. Luke does, yeah. What happens next? Yeah, a great storm comes out of nowhere. The boat starts shaking. The boat starts rocking. Davis, do you think Jesus wakes up or no? No? You don't think so? That'd be pretty crazy to sleep through that. But you're right. He doesn't wake up. And so, Luke, what do the disciples ask Jesus?
They
ask
him, why aren't you afraid?
Okay.
And then he said, no.
Other way around. You're right, though. Do you have any faith? Right. So they ask Jesus, don't you care about us? Don't you care if we drown? And Jesus says, don't you have any faith? Right. Why are you so afraid? Why don't you have any faith? So in both of these stories, and Pastor Lynn's going to talk about it, it shows that sometimes the things that we care about, sometimes the things that people around us tell us to care about, Jesus doesn't really care too much about. Not you guys. What you guys said was all awesome. Your friends and your family, that's things we should care about. Your church, those sorts of things, those are good things to care about. What are some things people tell you to care about that aren't really that important? Luke?
Money,
definitely. That's a good one. What?
It cares if you have good parents and have good friends.
Yeah, it does care. Yeah, Jesus cares if you have good parents or good friends. Definitely. But yeah, Jesus cares about how you act towards other people. Definitely. What's something we shouldn't care so much about, Leah? Do you know?
How you look all the time.
How you look all the time, definitely. I think the clothes you wear and those sorts of things, you can care about them. It's okay to care about them a little bit, but a lot of people care about them way too much, and they take away from their caring about God and about the people around them. Yeah, Luke, last one.
And it doesn't care if you wear any undies.
You might want to wear some clothes. I think that helps out everybody. But it doesn't really matter what the clothes look like so much. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, yeah. So, again, just like these two stories from the Bible, we know you guys said all the perfect answers about what we should care about, and Jesus is saying that those are good things to care about, but a lot of things that people tell us to care about aren't as important. So let us pray. Will you pray with me? Dear God, help us to care for the things that matter. In your name we pray.
Amen.
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 All right, we don't have children's church today, so you can go back and sit down, or you can go back to the nursery.
Our question today comes from the Gospel according to Luke. And Luke, as you know, is very much the gospel writer who is known for being an inclusive writer. He talks about stories of men and women rather equally. We know that whenever the story of the mustard seed was being given, and a man had planted a mustard seed and it grew into a great tree, Luke continued with, "And it's like the woman who uses the leaven for the bread so that it might rise." And alongside of that is the story of the shepherd who had lost one of his sheep and went and searched until he found the sheep. And following the sheep story, or the shepherd story, is that of the widow who has lost a coin, and she searched diligently throughout her house. The story today happens to be about two sisters, but it could equally be about two brothers. It is not a story about any more than about women than it is about men. So as we hear the story of Mary and Martha, think about whether it might have been Matthew who was wanting to finish building the barn before the rain started, and maybe Mark who was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let us hear this word from the Lord. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home, or some translations say, welcomed Jesus and all his friends into it. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her then to help me." "Martha, Martha," said the Lord, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may the words and meditations of all of our mouths and hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Mary and Martha. We know that story. We have heard it many times and kind of used that seesaw idea of which one was greater and which one had not gotten her priorities in order. Let's think a little bit more, though, now about Martha first. Martha welcomed Jesus and all of his friends into the house. That word welcomed that we heard today is used four times in the New Testament. In addition to here, it describes Zacchaeus when he welcomes Jesus into his house. It describes Jason, who was dragged out of his household by an angry mob for providing hospitality to Paul and Silas. And it describes Rahab's heroic work in welcoming Israelite spies into her house and enabling Paul and Silas to escape without being caught. So in this introductory sentence where Martha welcomes Jesus and all of his friends into her house, puts her in good company with those with whom hospitality is laudable. But after Martha welcomes Jesus and all the friends into her house, she is overwhelmed at serving. The language of the story amps up the volume a lot. Martha is having what looks like a panic attack, not one that is rooted in a chemical imbalance or disorder, but one that is evoked by the extreme expectations she is facing as she is the host who is welcoming Jesus and all of the travelers with him. She may be on the verge of losing it. She certainly sees what she is doing as a struggle, and she feels completely left alone in the kitchen while everyone else is ignoring what needs to happen. Preparation for pretty much a meal, you might even say a banquet. Martha has due cause to be upset. So in all her anxiety, she sees Mary just sitting there, just listening, just waiting for the food to be put on the table. Mary is the one sitting at the feet of the timeliness and of the learning and of the spirit and presence of Almighty God in Jesus Christ. Mary is not doing anything that is irrational or wrong, but Martha is not doing anything that is irrational or wrong. Martha and Mary have committed themselves to their outcome, and they are busy about doing it. And Jesus doesn't say that Martha is doing something wrong. He just says Mary has chosen the better thing. I don't hear this story as being condemning of someone who is busy working or getting things done. And the story is not affirming of Mary for choosing the better things, but is asking that we pay attention to when God is in our midst. And whatever we eat or whatever barn we might have built before the rains come is secondary to walking in solemn faith and in true obedience first to Almighty God. The problem comes when we get distracted by things that pull us away from that sense of spirit, things that distract our attention from the heart of God's love. In the end, Mary has chosen the good part out of many things by sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing the word of God. She's entitled to be there and not obligated to leave. She's not obligated to leave because of her gender or because of the real, overwhelming work that is called to be done. But she has chosen the most important piece. She needs to be there. I wonder, have you ever had one of those challenging times when you feel distracted by the things that are going on around you and might miss the heart of the gospel? Are there times when we get caught up in needing to figure out what's going wrong and find a way to fix it before it grows into something that is even bigger? I remember one time when I was very excited, and you've seen this happen because we did it here last World Communion Sunday, because it's one of my favorite Sundays of the year, and we celebrate and we honor all the corners of the world. And I was doing this for one of the early times that I ever did in my ministry, and had invited people to participate in the same way as we did here last World Communion Sunday. And all the people gave generously, and we had a wonderful display and illustration all around the church. And World Communion Sunday was a terrific, wonderful celebration. And then it just so happened that we needed that day in particular for the church to be clean, the sanctuary to be cleaned out and everything to be put away immediately, because it was going to be in use that night for something else. And I found myself there cleaning up each and every corner, taking all the communion cups out of the trays that had been left, doing all the cleaning, and I was feeling just a little bit bitter about the fact that everyone who had helped me put it all together, as soon as the amen happened after the service, they're all gone. They just took off and did whatever it was they were doing, lunches or games or whatever happened to be happening, and I was left by myself to clean up the sanctuary. And I found myself pretty much toward the end picking up the last communion cup in the back and walking down the aisle, and it just so happened in that church there was this beautiful stained glass window of Jesus standing there with his arms wide open. And I looked up and I said to myself, I was so embarrassed for having been all aggravated about the people that didn't help me, because the purpose of that World Communion service was to glorify God and was to honor our Christ. And I saw the Christ standing there welcoming all of us, and immediately let go of my aggravation about who stayed or didn't to help me clean up. None of it was about me. It is about God. It is about the love that Jesus pours out for us each and every day. It is about the forgiveness God offers us no matter what we have done, but it is about our confession following or preceding our forgiveness. All of these acts of faith are held not because we want to show off to anybody sitting around us, not because we have anything to prove about who's got the best church or who's doing the best mission or how it is that we make it better for others. We don't make it better. It is God who does the work. We don't help the mustard seed grow into a great bush. We take care of the soil. We don't make the bread rise. We just need to make sure the leaven gets put into it. It is a cooperative act. We have to do our work, and God will do the completing. And as we are faithful in letting God do the work that God intends, then we will make a mighty church. Then we will build a mighty mission. Then we will have the heart of God in the place that it needs to be. Not our own pride, but the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mary got that as she sat at Jesus' feet. As she was absorbing and taking in and being able to live out that word of Christ. Martha got it too, because Martha and Mary were there at the cross of Jesus. We get it through our work. We get it through our prayers. We get it through our love. God's love comes first, and we love like Jesus. Amen. We have had another week of people being cared for in hospitals and at nursing homes and all the places that have called them to be. And I invite you to share any concerns or celebrations that you have. Of course, we remember Pat Hager and her surgery and also Phyllis Monteith. And what is joyful about that is that they have good outcomes occurring and recoveries are happening, and we continue to pray for good reports and successful recoveries. But I know there might be other concerns that you have, or joys. I need to thank Graham for helping get the bulletin on the screen this morning, because I learned, and I think it does make a difference if we look up when we sing, and I hope that you're using the screen or the books, whichever you want, but we'll try this for a few weeks to see how the leadership is shared if we're all looking up and have things on the screen to see. But other concerns or joys?
Lynn, keep our Kinley in prayer. She's on her way to camp for the next 3 weeks.
Granddaughter Kinley is going to camp for 3 weeks. Maya. Let Love Lead is the theme for the Montreat Youth Conference that begins tonight, right? So our youth and leaders will board the bus and go up the mountain, which we send you with good graces, and you might have some visitors through the week. Who knows? Actually, I know, because I want to go see them. Let us be aware of God's presence. We give thanks, O God, for your presence with those who have needed special attention for their bodies. We give thanks that Phyllis has been surrounded by good surgeons and good health care providers and loving family and friends, and that all of her needs of care and feeding and therapy and recovery are being availed to her as she moves through this recovery time and gets back on her feet holistically and independently. And we give thanks for the surgeon's work in Pat Hager's back and the space that they were able to clear out and to get relief for the nerve and the pain that shoots throughout our bodies when our backs hurt. And we are thankful for all those healthcare providers, for all of Pat's loving family, and especially her church friends who continue to support them in prayer and in deed with food and flowers and cards and all the things that help our spirits be lifted when our bodies are healing. And we issue prayers for McKinley as she is going to camp for a long time and will be thought of and missed, and hopefully too out on an experience of learning and grasping from new horizons the breadth and depth of your love and the joy that she might have in making new friends and seeing new places. And we know that as the thousand youth submerge on the mountain of Montreat, as they come from all corners of the country and know that they will be filled with enthusiasm and joy and eagerness to make new friends and to experience your love of the love of Jesus, that they will be inspired and their hearts will be beaming with the kind of love and joy that they experience. Be with them all as they travel safely and return to us next week. We give thanks for the gift of this day and the wonder of your Sabbath. Might we be restful and working at the same time, knowing that it is in the balance of preparing and resting, for anticipating and then absorbing, that we keep that sense of our bodies renewed and invigorated and also our spirits filled and energized. Give us rest this day. Give us a sense of purpose about being your servants and knowing that your love is foremost and the one that will help us lead through all questions and decisions. And for this gift and promise of your presence with us, we pray together in the name of your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now receive our tithes and offerings and the gifts we bring before God.
Step to the edge, right? Okay.
Gracious Lord, fill our brothers and sisters with your own heart, courage, and love as they seek to bear witness to your gospel wherever they serve. Sustain them each day with all that they need. May your love come to reign so that all might live in peace with one another. Amen. I want to remind this session there's going to be a called meeting today right at about 11:15 in the parlor. So now let us go out into the world in peace, knowing that we are cleansed of our sins and free to share the love of Jesus Christ with all that we meet. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of this Holy Spirit abide with our hearts and minds so that we might be filled forever and ever in the glorious reign of God. Amen.
Set out in Jesus' name.
got a lot of cantaloupe.
Any squash?